That sound you hear is a loosening purse string.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The government reported a few minutes ago consumer spending continued to lift last month. It was up 0.2% in July, about what the experts expected. Much credit goes to cash for clunkers. For Americans who have less money to spend lately, one of the few condolences is that some prices are falling too, including the price of natural gas. It's down to a 7-year low. There's a natural gas conference wrapping up in Houston today. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton says the mood at the conference is not exactly upbeat, but should consumers be cheering?
Unlike oil, which the U.S. mostly gets from other countries, natural gas is a truly domestic fuel. Nearly 90% of the natural gas consumed here comes from U.S. wells. And thanks to improved technology, those wells are producing more gas than they ever have.
Right at the time when demand went away.
That's Houston analyst David Purcell with Tudor Pickering Holt. He says the combination of the recession and a cool summer have gutted demand for natural gas. And since there are few options for storing the stuff, that oversupply continues to drive prices downward. Purcell says that doesn't bode well for the future.
Low prices are a good thing. Really low prices are not, because really low prices aren't sustainable.
Meaning it's harder for natural gas producers to turn a profit, which means they're less likely to drill new wells. And that, Purcell says, is a recipe for a spike in prices once demand picks back up again. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Now let's check stocks around the world. Major European markets are up more than 1%. The cosmetics company L'Oreal says retailers are ready to order again. L'Oreal shares are positively glowing. Asian markets closed today modestly higher. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P 500 grew 0.3%. The Dow made its 8th gain in a row, up 37 points to 9,580. Stocks seem to be boosted by yesterday's news that the U.S. economy only shrank 1% last quarter. Today, Britain's latest GDP figures are out, and while they are also a bit better than expected, our Stephen Beard reports there is not much rejoicing in the U.K.
The U.K. economy shrank by 0.7% in the second quarter of this year, but that figure is only 0.1% better than expected, well within the margin for statistical error. And Britain's performance still compares badly with that of its main European competitors. France and Germany have already pulled out of recession. The Brits have another reason to fret. They're still reeling from some terrible figures for business investment, economist Andrew Hilton.
Investment fell off a cliff. It was down to a 44-year low last month, and that's kind of scary, because business investment is a good leading indicator of where the overall economy is going.
He says since Britain is groaning under the weight of government and household debt, the best forecast for the UK is a long, slow and anemic recovery. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In the TV industry, the talk this week has been about the risky nature of reality shows. You might have heard this about a contestant on a VH1 reality dating program. She was killed by her ex-husband, who then fled to Canada and committed suicide. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports VH1 is taking the incident seriously and rethinking its approach.
You want to get knocked out by a guy, girl?
Hey, man.
That's what you
want
to do? Get knocked out by a guy? You think I couldn't knock you out?
I didn't even flinch. I didn't even flinch.
I don't want...
This is standard fare in reality TV's formula of stick them in a room and make them fight for love or money. But when the real-life plot turned from steamy to seedy, the network pulled the plug on two shows, Megan Wants a Millionaire and I Love Money, featuring the suspected murderer. One reason could be advertisers getting skittish about all the drinking and fighting and bleeping on these shows. But will VH1 tone down the rest of its lineup?
I doubt it.
John Taplin teaches media at USC's Annenberg School for Communication.
It's really cheap programming, and there's so many people desperate to be on television for free.
VH1 president Tom Calderone told the LA Times he is looking to broaden the brand with more redemptive shows. One follows former Dallas Cowboy Terrell Owens reinventing himself as a Buffalo Bill. Andy Dennert writes the blog realityblurred.com about the TV genre. He doesn't expect much to change.
I doubt you're going to see VH1 do a 180-degree turn and just abandon this ridiculously successful format.
One thing that will change, though, better vetting of contestants. Annenberg's John Taplin says that's so another violent criminal doesn't get on and possibly win. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
American Public Media presents the Scratchpad blog. Host Scott Jagow keeps you updated on business news worth talking about. Available daily at marketplace.org.
When Chrysler filed for bankruptcy, the plan was for the car company to leave all its old liabilities behind. That included lawsuits from customers injured by Chrysler products. But as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, consumer advocates cried foul, and last night Chrysler changed direction.
Chrysler now says future accident victims driving the company's older models will be able to sue the new Chrysler in court. Prior to yesterday's announcement, the plan was for those suits to be handled by the old shell company. That old Chrysler was created by the bankruptcy court. It doesn't make cars or produce any real income, and it exists solely to pay back pennies on the dollar to thousands of unsecured creditors. Under the old plan, any accident victims who successfully sued would have had to get in line with everyone else to get paid. Not surprisingly, consumer advocates blasted that arrangement. Yesterday, the company changed course. Chrysler's reversal follows a similar about-face by General Motors. GM had planned to shed future consumer lawsuits in bankruptcy, but gave up the idea under intense pressure from a dozen state attorneys general. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, Iraqi police say they have arrested a man who was planning to sell a Picasso. They say the painting was looted from a Kuwaiti museum. Some art experts say it's a fake. That would explain why it was valued at $10 million and the guy was only asking $450,000. Another explanation, though, could be the condition of the painting. Websites are showing a photo of the artwork called The Naked Woman, and it appears to have been folded several times. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.